When people talk about ghosting, usually it's associated with relationships and dating. But what happens when you've been ghosted by someone you've known for years, a family member or a friend? These disappearances can be even harder to explain and harder to recover from. So why do people get ghost those closest to them? And what's the impact on those left behind? In order to explain this, we have Megan Wills, Associate Professor from the School of Behavioural and Health Sciences from Australian Catholic University on the line. Megan, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. So what's the definition of ghosting for those who aren't aware?
Yeah, so ghosting is defined as when someone abruptly or gradually cuts off all communication without explanation. So it's different to kind of friends drifting apart or having a, you know, an explicit breakup. It's where there's, you know, just a termination of all communication. No explanation, so there's no closure associated with it.
So why do people ghost family members and friends, especially those they've known for quite a long time?
Yeah, so when relationships are more short-term, you know, the reasons people might ghost friends is quite similar to why they'd ghost romantic partners. So that's because, you know, they lose interest, there's, you know, incompatibility, and often there's just they want to avoid confrontation. But for longer term relationships with friends or family members, there's a couple of reasons. So particularly for friendships, there's a link between kind of major life transitions like parenthood, divorce or moving that often kind of leads people to shrink their social networks, and so sometimes ghosting will happen in those instances. But what the kind of research suggests for ghosting family members and another reason people ghost long-term friends is often there's a self-protective element to it. So it's really a way to escape kind of toxic or abusive relationships. So, you know, in some instances, you know, it's not so much an avoidance strategy. It's really about protecting oneself.
And so I think ghosting can have this subconscious or implicit connection to online communication, you know, being blocked on social media or having a number blocked by someone. But is it exclusive to online communications, or is it especially, you know, in personal as well?
Yeah, it can happen in person. I think it's really, you know, become quite popular in everyday vernacular as a term. And I think that's, you know, fueled by, I guess, you know, how connected we are in social media. So it often does play out via digital means, but it can happen in person as well. So, you know, if you've got a friend and then you see them, you know, at uni or at work, and they just ignore you and don't engage in attempts you make to converse with them. So it's not unique to online settings, but that's probably where it plays out most frequently.
And why does ghosting affect people's emotions so much more than an explicit break off in communication?
Yeah, so what's like unique to ghosting is because there's no explanation that comes with it, it kind of, you know, it leads to grief-like emotions like you might feel, you know, with the death of a loved one or, you know, a really bad breakup. But what's really unique about it is it's a form of what we call ambiguous loss. So there's this uncertainty and this lack of closure. And what that seems to do is often kind of freeze people in the grief process and make it a lot harder to move on. So people can kind of fall into this cycle of, you know, asking why and then blaming themselves. So it's the ambiguity that I guess makes it, you know, that much more cutting than a typical rejection.
And are there ways to cope if you feel as though you've been ghosted either romantically or platonically?
Yeah, so look, I mean, if you've been ghosted, one of the first things that's really important is to recognize that feeling those grief-like emotions like shock, sadness, and anger are all normal reactions to being ghosted. So it's important to kind of acknowledge those feelings and not suppress them, because that can kind of be associated with poorer mental health outcomes. And what's really important is that people seek social support. So, draw on your friends and family, or talk to a mental health professional to, talk about your feelings, make sense of your feelings. And what's really important, I guess, at times like this is to be kind to yourself. So often people will kind of start blaming themselves, and really, I guess the rejection and the ghosting leads to, can lead to reduced self-esteem and self-worth. But it's really important at times like this to be kind to yourself, to practice self-compassion. So, things like mindfulness, exercise, getting out in nature are really helpful ways to heal and to avoid rumination. And, what's really, I guess, difficult about ghosting is the lack of closure. And so it's important not to kind of fixate on getting answers from the person that's ghosted you. So, one method that can be useful is to kind of, write down what you want to say to that person and try and make sense of your experience, but not send the letter. But just that process of kind of putting all your thoughts down can often help people to kind of, create their own closure.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice there, Megan. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about this, I think, uniquely modern phenomenon that people are experiencing in the modern world.
Thanks. Cheers.
That was Megan Willis, Associate Professor from the School of Behavioural and Health Sciences from Australian Catholic University, talking about platonic ghosting and how to deal with it.